The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 12th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what is an absolutely perfect Friday here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining. It's not cold. It's not hot. It's just right. We have so much to get to on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Christian, happy Friday, sir. How are you?
Happy Friday. Doing well, man. Excited to get back inside Sanford Gymnasium again here tonight for some Lee Scott Academy basketball. We had the cross-town showdown. Now we have a little bit of a cross-state showdown as we welcome a team from Columbus, the Brookstone Cougars, to town. And so should be a really, really fun environment. Should be a really fun atmosphere inside Sanford Gymnasium tonight. We're looking forward to getting back in the gym.
Yeah, so you have basketball tonight. You have basketball tomorrow too, don't you?
I do, yeah. Back-to-back days. We went to Beulah earlier this week. Lee Scott always plays their one really early area game before the Christmas break, even before the little Christmas tournaments that you always seem to play, which makes it a little bit easier once you work your way into the 2026 calendar season, because the girls and the boys both started 1-0 in area play. And so can't do any better than that in one game.
Yeah.
And so some more tune-up games before the Christmas break holidays, before the Christmas break tournaments, and then you kick right back into area play starting in early January.
I compare it to the Big Ten in college basketball for the men who play two Big Ten conference games in December,
yeah,
then play a couple of more non-conference games, and then when the calendar year starts, then they hit full conference play like everybody else. For Lee Scott, it's not that your area is that big. It's, I don't know, I guess they did that when I was doing it, even when they were in AISA,
yeah,
they would do some weird scheduling things like that. So yeah, you'll be a busy man tonight and tomorrow. And there's a lot going on, man. There's a lot to talk about on this Free For All Friday, and we're gonna do our best to cover it all. The latest updates on the Sherrone Moore situation. We have some sad updates, honestly. I mean, it just, you hate to hear and see what continues to transpire with that. Sherrone Moore was in court this morning. He was charged with some things, so we'll talk about that, plus what the latest odds and the latest buzz is around the new head coach up in Ann Arbor. Plus, we got to find out Auburn baseball's new schedule, and we have a lot of scheduling news to talk about today. So we'll hit that, and then we have a fun interview coming up at 2:30 with Auburn University gymnastics head coach Jeff Grapa, so that'll be exciting.
It will be, yeah. And then hour number two, we're kicking it off with Auburn football schedule releases, as well as all the other SEC schedules, and we'll talk about how Auburn's isn't that bad,
he said,
for the teams that Auburn had scheduled and what we saw on that 2026 season. The actual setup, the actual schedule, you don't feel like is absolutely terrible. It's not unmanageable for year one head coach Alex Golish and staff, who continues to acquire more and more and hire more and more staff members. You saw Cody Burns again here this morning get officially introduced. And so many names that we'll talk about as the day and the weeks go on. But a really, really fun conversation we'll have with that before we flip to Auburn basketball, as they are in their favorite gym in the world coming up tomorrow on Holiday Hoopsgiving.
I feel like it's necessary, though, to talk about the breaking news. And by the way, it's Free for All Friday. Outside of our conversation with Jeff Graba coming up at 2:30, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, as they have their preview meet coming up on Monday to kick off that season. That's coming up at 2:30. Outside of that, though, phone lines are wide open today on a free-for-all Friday. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Give us a call. What's on your mind? It's free-for-all Friday. We'll talk anything you want to sports-related here on the show today, or you could shoot us a text at any time in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we have some news we need to talk about.
We do, and again, we talked a little bit about it a couple of days ago when this news was brought up. We are Sports Station.
Oh, I was going a different direction than Sherrone Moore. I do want to talk the Sherrone Moore stuff.
I figured
there's breaking Auburn news.
Well, then let's go there.
That I don't think we talked about that was announced yesterday that has been confirmed today. Tim Banks has been hired by Auburn. Former DC at Tennessee, a guy who's been around college football as a defensive guy for almost 20 years, has been confirmed today. The report started to come out yesterday. It's been confirmed that Tim Banks is Auburn's new co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. Folks, that's an incredible hire. That add this to the list of some pretty good dudes that are on this staff right now for Auburn. And we'll have more conversations on this as the day and the weeks go on. And I still have my reservations about Alex Golish. Nothing personal, just waiting to kind of feel it out. But, man, we have so many – and I want to address this too, the idea that every single time a new coach is hired and brings in a new staff, it's so easy to say, oh, that's a good hire. Oh, that makes sense. That guy's got a good resume. Oh, yeah, that's a home run hire. It's so easy to say that. And we do it almost every time. But I do genuinely think putting these in their own separate vacuum of a category here, I really do like a lot of the hires that Alex Golish has made, including Tim Banks, who was just confirmed earlier today to be Auburn's co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach after he was let go as the Tennessee defensive coordinator.
Auburn now has three members on their staff on the defensive side of the football that used to be defensive coordinators.
That's strong.
That's pretty sweet to think about. DJ Durkin, obviously one of them. You mentioned Tim Banks and then Coleman Hutzler from Mississippi State.
Hutzler's a great hire
so
too, man.
The fact that you have three that have been defensive coordinators that know what it's like to run it, and now other than Durkin, who ironically we make jokes about from head coach, now you just get to focus on the defense rather than these other guys, rather than coaching the entire defense, they get to coach the one thing that you feel like they specialize in.
And this is another cool one with Tim Banks, because Alex Golish put out a statement with the press release about Tim Banks being hired, and he said, quote, Tim Banks is going to be a huge asset to our staff here at Auburn. He goes on to say, Tim and I have worked together before and competed against each other for years, so I know what he's one of the most respected defensive minds in college football. And again, I think that is really, really neat, and that is something we've heard several times from Alex Golish about the hires on the defensive side of the football, Christian, is these are guys that Alex Golish not only knows he's gone up against, which means he knows just how good they are, from DJ Durkin to now Tim Banks, a couple of other guys. And that was in the statement that he released, is I've gone up against him. I know what his tendencies are. I know how good this guy can be. And I think this is another great hire for Auburn.
I agree. How long was Tim Banks at Tennessee?
I think 4 years, 21 to 24 or 21 to 25, I think. I think he was... he led Tennessee defense for five seasons from 21 to 25. And it says he, in 24, he became the first defensive coordinator in Tennessee history, named a Broyles Award finalist, recognizing the nation's top assistant coach.
So you want to talk about going up against each other? him and Alex Golish were going up against each other in practice because Golish was the offensive coordinator in 21 and 22 at Tennessee.
Exactly. How cool is that?
It's really cool.
Not only is this these hires, Golish making these calls from afar, he's calling dudes that he's gone up against, which probably means you can dive into the numbers and dive into the history. It's guys that have given Golish hell during his time as an offensive mind.
Well, that, and it makes it really refreshing to think about that it's coaches when you have... When you bring in coaches like this, it shows that there's going to be conversations with both sides of the football and how the offense is going to look at the defense and tell them what they need to work on. And the defensive coaches are going to look at the offense, make it to where it's, you know, all uniform and make it to where everybody works together.
And open-minded.
Wow.
And you welcome criticism. What a crazy idea that is, right? So Tim Banks, again, confirmed to be hired as Auburn's co-defensive coordinator, meaning he'll be working right alongside DJ Durkin. He's also the safeties coach as well. We were talking about that the other day, talking about DVD being hired, right, and a couple of these other guys on the cornerbacks coach and the linebackers coach and defensive line. I mean, you start talking about defensive guys. The offensive staff, a lot of it is Golish's guys from South Florida. And you expected that to be the case, and given the numbers that South Florida put up, and we're about to get to the phone lines, the numbers that they put up at South Florida offensively, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him saying, yeah, let's copy and paste from South Florida to Auburn. Defensively, though, he's gone out and got some dudes. And I want to reiterate this. DJ Durkin has had a hand in this. And this is a well-constructed, precisely molded defensive staff for Auburn football. And I think by the end of, or I guess by the start of next season, you start looking around the country, I don't know if anybody will have a better defensive staff than Auburn.
At least based off of names.
Names,
right?
Resumes, stats and performances.
Execution during the season is going to obviously be one thing, and that's what you prefaced talking about the entire thing is saying good hires versus great hires and everything like that, but still got to perform on Saturdays.
Someone texted into the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. We're about to get to the phone lines as well. Says, I don't think Alex Golish will be telling DJ Durkin to take it easy on his quarterbacks. That's a flash. I forgot about that. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
334-321-1390 is the phone line number. You can give us a call. And believe we have somebody calling in to talk Auburn baseball, I think. What's up, Jack Hutton?
We got Ty the Tiger here with us.
I thought you said we had Jack on the line.
Apologies.
I think he might be calling in later. What's up, Ty? My bad, brother.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I'm actually going to talk about another sport. It just ain't going to be baseball.
Okay. Talk to me about some basketball then.
I ain't talking about basketball either.
Okay.
The best scene on a basketball floor is wrestling match from door to door, baby.
Ah.
I don't know if y'all know this, but Auburn has a huge tournament this weekend. And if anybody out there listening that used to wrestle in high school or anything like that, if you want to see some really good wrestling this weekend, take yourself out to Auburn, Auburn High. They got the Sweet Umbach going on. Sweet Umbach was an old, old coach that actually, I think, coached at Auburn when Auburn had wrestling back before Title Dine.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a legend. He's like a Pat Dye in the wrestling kind of, you know, field around here in these parts. But guys, it's a 30-team bracket. There's going to be some dogs out there.
Is it all weight classes this weekend, Ty, for high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
okay.
You got from 106 all the way to heavyweight.
Well, so, man, you know this because you're a longtime listener. I'm sure you remember when former intern Graham was here, one of my best friends from high school who was an intern with us over the summer. You know, he wrestled in college and now coaching college wrestling. He's the one that got me into wrestling, watching college and cheering on his brothers and sisters who wrestled too. And look, I can tell you from when he was here and seeing the landscape of wrestling in this area, it has absolutely exploded. And I think that's great because, you know me, I grew up up north in Ohio where it's huge up there, and it's finally starting to get big down here in the South.
Yeah, the girls' programs are coming along huge around here. Most every major high school team has girls wrestling, which is humongous. Just getting the sport out there, you know. Now, I wrestled, refereed, coached – up until I had kids, and then I've been, you know, a dad of a wrestler now for about 6-7 years. So my son will be wrestling in the tournament. He's a ninth grader starting on varsity. So
okay.
I'm proud of that, but he's got a long way to go. You know, to compete for a title or anything like that. But he's doing good, man. And it's just, I told him the other day, I said, man, I don't care if you win or lose. If you wrestle good and you look good out there and you look like you know what you're doing, dad's going to be proud of
you. That's right.
You know,
that's
right. You're going to lose in wrestling. That's the whole thing. Ain't but one guy I ever seen walk through anything and not lose a match. And now he's possibly the greatest college coach player ever to exist in any sport in college ever. And that's Mr. Kale Sanderson over at Penn State. They've won 12 out of the last 15.
Yeah, that's the program
titles.
I follow, Ty. That's the program I follow. RBY back in his prime.
Oh,
and
man.
Bo Nickel when he was wrestling at Penn State.
Dude.
Before he became a UFC fighter. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, look, people don't talk enough. I know this is not a huge thing here, but I hope it gets that way. Same time as March Madness for basketball. You know what it is. It's March Madness, right, with college wrestling going on. Those
that's
tournaments
it.
Are fantastic.
And I'm going to throw a name out there, all you UFC fans. Okay, and you probably know who I'm talking about, Jacob, but I'm just going to throw a name out there. And if you're a UFC fan but not a wrestling fan, you're fixing to find out who this dude is. His name is Gabe Stevenson.
Yes.
And
yes.
He is raw. And he is coming up through UFC, and he is fixing to be a force in the heavyweight division. Did you see the clip? He wrestled one of his matches. Or not wrestle. His last fight, he knocked the dude out. And before the dude hit the mat, he took him down in a double leg kick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how quick he is.
Gable Stevenson is ridiculous. That guy
is ridiculous.
He was at Minnesota and just dominating the college wrestling circuit. And, you know, professional wrestling is so different than actual college wrestling and stuff. So many of those guys do go and become professional fighters, no doubt.
That's it, man. And that's at one time, the UFC belt holders, half of them were all NCAA champs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Division One or Division Two, and then you if you listen to anybody like Dana White or Joe Rogan, and you hear them talking about wrestlers, again, they're some of the toughest SOB athletes you'll ever run across.
Yeah.
I mean, they just are, man. It's a whole nother dedication and sport, because there's no glamour to it. There's no glory. There's no, draft. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
And so you do it to dominate another man and to win. And the glory's in the victory.
That's right.
Not just the fame. So
that's right.
I just want to throw that out there, guys.
Love
again,
it.
2 days of wrestling. You got tonight at 6:00. And they start back again at 9:00 in the morning.
Ooh.
It'll go all day. 30 teams, guys. It's going to be a heck of a 2-day tournament, guys.
Love it.
Check it out. As always, guys, Ward Am Eagle.
Appreciate it, Ty. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, check it out over at Auburn High School. Again, wrestling, a sport that has grown around here, and one that I got familiar with my time in the North and some of my best friends being a part of that. And I watch it, and, man, it really is. It's cool, man. It's something I can never do, but it really is neat. So be sure to go and check that out. Okay, we'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Auburn, plus give you some updates on the Sherrone Moore stuff. We have Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics, the head coach, will be joining us at 2:30 to talk about their preview meet on Monday. And then we have some scheduling news for several Auburn sports. All that coming up here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open for a couple of minutes. Reminder, we have Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, who'll be joining us at 2:30 to talk about the Tigers preview meet coming up on Monday night as they are vastly approaching the start of Auburn Gymnastics. Of course, the sport here on the Plains that has just exploded. It's been become one of the best atmospheres, one of the best events to attend for Auburn Athletics. And so we'll talk to him at 2:30 about the preview meet in the upcoming season for Auburn Gymnastics. But we do want to talk a little bit of the latest updates, right? The latest updates on former Michigan head football coach Sherrone Moore, who, of course, was fired late on Wednesday. He was then detained Wednesday night. He was kept all day on Thursday. And then the idea was that he was going to be appearing in court today, and he did. And he has now been charged with three different criminal charges. Okay, it says here in this article from ESPN, just to read it and give you the clearest details possible, quote, former Michigan football coach Sherrone Moore faces three criminal charges as his arraignment Friday revealed details of his actions that led to him being arrested and jailed hours after he was fired on Wednesday. Prosecutors charged Moore with one felony, third-degree home invasion, and two misdemeanors: stalking in a domestic relationship and breaking and entering. Bond was set at $25,000. So this all stems from him being fired, right, from the, quote, inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Clearly, he took further action after that. He was detained, and now he is being charged with several bad things, okay? I hate it for the guy. I mean, clearly this spun out of control pretty quickly here. And again, you can believe or not believe whatever the stories on the internet are talking about, but clearly this guy was trying to prepare for a bowl game, was trying to get his team ready for that, preparing or wrapping up the signing period and getting ready for the transfer portal. Some stuff came up in his personal life, and he didn't handle it well. And now you're talking about a guy who was a head coach 3 days ago and is now in jail, or was in jail, and now is charged with several serious crimes. And so I do. I hate it for him, man. And I hate the situation. I hate for the people involved. I hate for his family and everybody at the Michigan football program. I mean, it is a bad situation all the way around. And I don't know what you say more than that. For him, you hope he is able to get the help that he needs. You hope that the family and everybody involved gets the help that they need. And I'll still stick by it, man. I think Michigan, they obviously have tried to get away from this as much as possible by firing him with cause, where he will not see any of his money. But yeah, you can go read the details on this if you want to. We won't dive into it here.
Yeah, there's more stuff that quotes that he had when breaking and entering, and yeah, those are not great.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. So again, you can go read the gossipy details if you want to online. ESPN's got a pretty good article out there right now about it. But I do want to talk though the latest updates on who could replace him as the new head football coach at Michigan.
And it's pretty much down to three guys based off of a lot of the places that you look. You've heard Jed Fish a little bit. We obviously had conversations yesterday on Kalen DeBoer. But Kenny Dillingham is a name that continues to jump and continues to jump. I just watched it jump again as DeBoer and Dillingham both jumped a little bit more. I mean, unnamed website has Dillingham at 31%, DeBoer at 33%, and Jed Fish at 26%. And so
Dillingham has jumped a lot in betting odds and things.
He's jumped today.
Yeah. Probably doubled today in terms of what his odds could be to be the next head football coach of Michigan. And so
nothing like having odds for a head coach, right?
Yeah, no, we don't have a gambling problem. But I'm talking about the world, not you and me.
Okay.
Not you and me in particular. I'm talking about our country. Never mind. Anyway, I still think Kenny Dillingham would be a good hire. I think he would be a good hire. I think he would be somebody that if you are looking for a new culture change, a culture shock, a complete reset, I think Kenny Dillingham could be your guy. He did it at Arizona State. That's all I'm saying.
Does DeBoer get the first phone call, if there hasn't already been phone calls, and you now have to wait for the college football playoff?
That's the problem.
Because that's the weird – it's almost like if Oklahoma beats Alabama on Saturday, you're going to see a change rather quickly. But if DeBoer is still the head coach after beating Oklahoma, Michigan can only have their hands tied for so long that you decide to go a different direction.
I mean, joke could be on us. Maybe Kenny Dillingham is their first choice.
Sure.
And – I think there needs to be a debate, not even talking about the Michigan job, just talking the two head coaches comparisons. If you had a new program, a blue blood program, I don't know, do we consider Michigan a blue blood? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Anyway.
The brand.
The brand is. Hey, heck, they won a national championship in the last 5 years, so it's more than a lot of people can say. If you have a nameless, faceless P4 program that's looking for a head coach, and you, money's not an option, like, not, money's not a problem, their current situation's not a problem, like, you have your choice. They're standing in front of you. Do you pick Kenny Dillingham or Kalen DeBoer? Who's the better coach? Who can win now? Who can win long-term? Who can bring you back to the glory days in Ann Arbor? Kenny Dillingham or Kalen DeBoer? Who do you choose?
Gosh, I mean, weirdly, both, just because they've both done it. I think I still go Kalen DeBoer from what he did at Washington and then the ability to take over. And I know that Alabama is threatening a four-loss season once again, but I think I would still choose DeBoer over Dillingham from a coaching standpoint. But there's a lot more that goes into it with Michigan of you need a lot more than just a football coach right now.
Correct. It's a fascinating question. Or could there be a third option? You never know. We'll talk more about it as we go. But Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, and we continue talking with Auburn University head coaches. We've had several of them on over the past several months throughout the summer and the fall, and now that the weather has turned cooler, that means winter sports are cranking up, and we're excited to have the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, head coach Jeff Graba, with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, it's great to talk to you, and I know you're getting excited and ready for another great season here on the Plains.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. It's that time of year again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, are you in the camp, since you've been around and you've been doing this for many years, and are you in the camp of the season always sneaks up on you and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it's here? Or you're like, man, we just need more time. I need two or three more weeks. I can't believe it's here. How do you feel right now?
It depends on the year, but this year, probably a little bit of both. I wish I'd had more time because it's a young team. But you know, it sneaks up and, you know, we're here to compete. I think if you take too much time preparing, they're not ready. And if you don't take time enough time, they think they're ready, but they're not ready. So, I view it more as we're in three seasons. We have prep season, we have competition season, then we have recruiting season. So we're, I don't know if I can take any more of each one.
I totally understand. And there's so much that goes into getting not just your team, but each individual right performer for gymnastics ready to go. And we've been talking with head coach Jessica Braswell of Auburn Equestrian the past several weeks. And very similar, we've made comparisons to gymnastics where, yes, it's a team event, right? But each individual has their own stuff and their own strengths and their own weaknesses, and everything feeds into one. How do you prepare for that, knowing that there's so much from the athletes and the team and your coaching staff that goes into each individual meet?
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's a team thing, but it's also an individual thing. So you want to push your athletes as far as they can go, but you also got to be smart because it's a long season. It's not just, you know, my brother's an Olympic coach and I'm a team coach. So he can only, his idea and job is to manage one athlete, mm-hmm. You know, Suni Lee for the last two Olympics. When I had Suni, it was her plus 19 others. So, and her score had to count with everybody else. So it is, it's a little bit of both. I would term it as this, you know, imagine, and this go back to the BCS era of football.
Okay.
And imagine it didn't really matter who won or lost. It mattered every single game, how many points you scored and how many you gave up.
Yeah.
How many penalties you had and how many, if you counted all of that and the win loss didn't matter, you would coach it completely differently. And that's sort of what this is.
Yeah, well, I tell people all the time because, you know, you have a lot of fans getting into the sport and the excitement, especially with what the atmosphere is at Neville Arena. But so many fans are like, oh, you know, we lost last week. It's like, yes, but, you know, we almost had 197 team total points. I mean, that's good. It's all about the points and where you rank in that. And some people, they struggle to wrap their head around that idea, Coach. But I think it's interesting. I think it changes it up a little bit. You still want to win the meets, but you're right. It's all about your scoring and how you do, especially down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to getting to the Masters in golf. You know, to get into the Masters, it's all about you have to get points to get into the Masters. You can make it without actually winning any of the tournaments, but you do want to win the Masters.
Right.
So, I mean, it's right there in front of us all the time. It's just, it's hard for people to understand that the win-loss in the regular season doesn't matter, but it's everything in the postseason. The score matters during the regular season, but it's only to get you ranked and seeded into the tournament. And then it doesn't matter what you score in the tournament as long as you score more than the other teams. So it's basically a tale of two seasons for us.
Well, it's a fun sport, a unique sport, and we're excited for it to get started. Auburn Gymnastics, we're going to talk about it as we have the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, Jeff Graba, with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. And I do want to flash back quickly to a year ago before we preview this team and what their strengths are going to be. It's a team a year ago ranked in the top 25 all season long, competed hard in the SEC tournament, had a couple of big wins in the regular season, then went out to Seattle for the regional championships and took on some extremely talented teams. And what was that trip like for you and your program to go literally across the country and compete in yet another NCAA tournament?
It was extremely difficult. It was very good. I mean, we had some injuries last year. We lost three all-rounders for the month of February, and then we didn't get two of them back the rest of the year. So we went out a little bit undermanned, so to speak. It was our third straight postseason on the West Coast, and that's an extremely difficult thing to do. We're the only team in the NCAA that's had to do this 3 years in a row. And I felt like our athletes handled it extremely well last year. We ended up making our second Sweet 16 in the history of the program, and in reality, you know, finish within a tenth of the number three team in the country. We would have had to beat the number three team in the country. It was a hard regional in order to make it to the Elite Eight. So very happy with the team. They really rallied. Our depth really stepped up. We lost some good kids, but the other people really stepped up. So I feel like it was probably one of the most successful. I think it was a top five finish in the history of the program. It tied our fifth best finish ever.
Wow.
So to do that with three, basically we lost half our starting lineup in February. To do that really says a lot about this team last year.
Well, that should give you confidence, right? Stepping into the 25-26 season, where this is a different makeup of this year's team. But correct me if I'm wrong on the breakdown here, Coach, but one senior, eight juniors, five sophomores, and four freshmen. Have you ever had a team that's kind of staggered this way with just one senior on the roster?
Yes, a while ago, but it is a little bit weird. And in reality, you know, Hannah Hagel is our senior, but she actually has another year of eligibility left. So
okay.
I don't think she'll exercise it. You know, it depends on her postgraduate career, but, I don't know if I've ever had a team that didn't graduate anybody and everybody returned the next year. But this is, it's unique to us because I get 2 years with the same team, generally speaking. So it is a young team. It's a really pretty darn young team, and we're a little bit behind because some of those returners were injured last year and are only now getting back to full speed. So I do think it's going to be a very first off, it's a very interesting coaching fall right now, because we're really coaching up a lot of young people. But it's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of energy in the gym. The, you know, all of the newness is sort of fun to coach. Got a lot of young people that are really just excited about their opportunities.
Well, there's a ton to be excited about with the team and, of course, you as the head coach and your staff and everything that Auburn Gymnastics has built. And I talked earlier about the atmosphere that Neville Arena has become for Auburn Gymnastics. We, of course, know what it is for the basketball teams, but gymnastics is the exact same way. And fans have a chance to come see you and your team coming up on Monday, December 15th. That's the coming Monday inside of Neville Arena at 7 p.m. for the annual preview meet. And it's free to attend. Parking is free, right? Kids are gone, so you don't have to fight them for parking spots and worry about your car getting towed or anything. It's a fun night inside of Neville Arena that the doors open at 5:30. Why do you feel, Coach, that this is important for fans to come in, but also your athletes for this preview meet on Monday?
Yeah, well, first off, it's a great opportunity for our fans. You know, we have been fortunate enough to have really good ticket sales again this year. There are still single game tickets available. So, you know, go out there and grab those. But tickets have been hard to come by, and this is an opportunity to get in and see for free. You can sit in different seats. You can get down low and see. There's an autograph session at the end with our ticket sales and TV broadcast. It's been harder and harder each year to have our athletes stay after a meet and do autograph sessions. But mm-hmm. This is definitely one of the only opportunities our fans are going to get in line and you know, get an autograph from each athlete and talk to them. So a lot of cool things are happening here for the fans. For us, it's important that we have a good crowd because, you know, the basketball teams, that's their venue. They practice on that floor, you know, multiple times a week in order to have an advantage. They need to be able to shoot the basket into the hoop that they are competing against the other team with. This is our only opportunity to have any home field advantage before January 9th when NC State comes to town. So, you know, NC State comes to town and this is going to be a foreign arena to them. They're going to have that day to get used to it. That's going to be our second day to get used to it. That's not much of a home field advantage, but we got to take advantage of everything we can. This is our only opportunity to get out there and we're going to utilize it as best we can.
And I've heard coaches like yourself talk about, again, Jeff Graba, head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, with us here on ESPN 106.7. Talk about the equipment that you use, whether it's at home or it's on the road, and the differences there, plus the backdrop. We talk about that in basketball all the time. We reference that, too. The backdrops and the crowds and just the environment. I mean, all of that plays a factor in each and every meet, does it not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's an immense factor. You know, when you're playing basketball, you're worried about where the lights are. And you know, if that's your arena, you're used to where the lights are. So you actually have a better idea of, you know, the shot that you're, whether you're a three-point shooter or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, going, making the percentage high enough that it goes into the hoop, that type of thing. For us, those lights can affect you when you're flipping. You know, you can get blinded. You know, our mistake is you actually get pretty significantly injured if you mess up, you know. So getting there and getting that backdrop and getting used to the equipment there, how it bounces, how it reacts when you're tumbling on it or swinging on the bars, that type of thing. All of that is massively important. So this is to us, this might be the most important practice of the fall.
Wow. It's significant when you put it into words like that, but it is a really neat event. Again, the preview meet coming up on Monday, December 15th, 7 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. Doors open up at 5:30. Admission is free. Parking is free all the way around the building and on campus and in the parking decks and things. And so if you're looking for something to do on a Monday night, we're getting closer to the holidays. And if you don't want to cook or go and spend money on something else, college. You could go for free, literally, and watch Auburn Gymnastics and see their preview meet on Monday. And, Coach, I'll share this with you. My family has season tickets to gymnastics. They have season tickets to some of the other sports around Auburn as well. Gymnastics is their favorite one to attend. My sisters absolutely love going to the events. My parents love it. The atmosphere, again, that you've built there, it's their absolute favorite, and they just can't get over the excitement that is in every single event, every single competitor, and every single Friday night inside of Neville Arena. So you should be proud of what you've built over there.
Well, thank you. It's been a blast to build it to this. And, you know, the good thing about our sport is it's always exciting, no matter if you win or lose. What the girls are doing is extremely not just skill oriented, but it can be a little bit dangerous. But it's like watching a NASCAR race up close, like 10 feet away. It's pretty fun, and it's really given us a tremendous advantage over our rivals. It'll be again probably the toughest schedule in the country again each year. It seems that's part of our philosophy, is to bring really talented teams in here and test ourselves against the best. But it's really fun for our fans to see some of the best gymnastics in the country.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too, is the season begins on January 9th against NC State, but you compete in the SEC, and I think we say this with every coach we talk to about every sport that we're discussing. The SEC is just it's brutal, Coach. It's insane to see how good these athletes and how good these teams are in the Southeastern Conference, no matter what sport we're talking about.
Yeah, our lowest-ranked team last year was 15th in the country. We have nine gymnastics teams, so only four or five other teams can actually ever really get into an argument that they might be better than an SEC team.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know of any other sport that the lowest-ranked SEC, the bottom dweller in the SEC, is probably second or third in any other conference.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, teams like Florida and Kentucky, Alabama, will all make their way to Neville Arena this season, where the regular season begins on January 9th. But again, the preview meet for Auburn Gymnastics on Monday, December 15th, 7 o'clock, inside of Neville Arena. It is free to attend. Parking is free as well. And then an autograph session with the athletes right after the event. So if you're looking for something to do this coming Monday, check it out with Auburn Gymnastics inside of Neville Arena. And this guy, head coach Jeff Grabe of Auburn Gymnastics, will be there as well, and we were just so happy to be joined by him here on the phone lines on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we appreciate the time. We look forward to the preview meet on Monday, and then a great regular season starting in January.
Well, thanks for having me. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. And appreciate head coach Jeff Grabe for joining us as he was previewing the preview meet, funny enough, on Monday night inside of Neville Arena for Auburn Gymnastics, a program that has clearly just skyrocketed in popularity and success rate as well. And appreciate Auburn, the Athletics Communications Department, helping us get that set up and previewing that on Monday. So if you are looking for something to do Monday night, something easy, something free, you could be a part of that inside of Neville Arena for the preview meet for Auburn Gymnastics. And we have some scheduling news to talk about today, but for several sports. And we'll get to Auburn football scheduling news coming up in hour number two, since all of that was released last night via the SEC Network. And, man, some fascinating conversations to have with Auburn schedule and other teams around the SEC. But we also learned of Auburn baseball's full schedule. And we've known the conference games for a while, but now we have the full 2026 Auburn baseball schedule, and I'll be honest, I like it. I think it's awesome. I think there are some really cool games on here, some fun matchups for Auburn and Butch Thompson, for a team that you and I have talked about, Christian, is going to be exciting.
It is. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Starts on Friday, February 13th. You play Youngstown State. You then get Cincinnati in the midweek before you go back to Arlington, Texas, which I think we talked a little bit about, but after what you did last year in Arlington, why would you not go back? You're going to get Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville. in those three games. And so Florida State and Louisville, again, two really good teams out of the ACC. Kansas State is a team that's trying to work their way back up into the legitimate college ranks. You then work your way back into the midweek with West Georgia. Late February, you get a home series against Nebraska to end February, which is pretty cool, inside, or I guess at Plainsman Park. Samford in the midweek, Winthrop, you have UAB, and then Friday, March 13th is the start of SEC play. You start on the road at Missouri, you then come back home for the midweek against Georgia Tech, which you always have. Then you're back home for Texas on March 20th through the 22nd. That is going to be a really, really fun series. You then go to Tuscaloosa, you're then to Georgia Tech before Arkansas comes back to town to take on Auburn at Plainsman Park. You then have back-to-back weekends with Arkansas and Kentucky before you go to Florida, back at home for OU, at Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, and then you conclude the regular season with Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, some fascinating matchups here. Auburn only going on the road once back-to-back in SEC play, which is pretty standard when you go to Texas A&M and to Mississippi State, but it's late in the season, so I think that is almost kind of beneficial, right? You feel like you'll have everything figured out at that point, your batting order, your pitching rotation, your guys that you rely on down the stretch when the calendar turns to May. Your home slate, again, for SEC games, for Auburn baseball, Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Georgia. When I looked at it initially, I was like, all right, it's okay, right? The SEC games are okay at home, but then you dive a little bit deeper. I mean, Texas and Arkansas are fantastic programs, so those will be great series. Kentucky and Oklahoma really just depends on what they have and what they are at that point. Georgia should be awesome to end the regular season at Plainsman Park when the Dogs come to town. You got some tough road trips in there, though. Good way to start on the road at Missouri. You feel like you should be able to take that series easily. You go to Tuscaloosa, to Gainesville, to College Station, and to Mississippi State in SEC play. Those are tough trips. I mean, I'll be honest. Those are tough trips for Auburn baseball.
They are, and Missouri, I don't think is going to be the laughingstock of the SEC this year. I think they'll be much improved. I think Kentucky will be much improved as well. Obviously, Florida. I think OU will be a little bit better. I think they were right around a 500 team last year, but I think they're going to be a little bit better again. I mean, SEC baseball is the best in college baseball, and you're going to see it. You're going to compare a lot of it to SEC basketball, in my opinion, this year, to where there might not be that team or those two teams like LSU last year that are just that much better than everybody else, but you're going to see a lot of really good teams every single weekend.
That's the Auburn baseball schedule, but stick around. We'll start with the Auburn football schedule in hour number two. Stick around.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous Friday afternoon in the Auburn-Opelika area. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we talked a lot of great topics today. We talked about the latest news in Auburn football coaching hires. Made another great addition to the defensive staff today. Another former defensive coordinator, this time from the SEC. That's right. So I talked about that in the first hour. Also gave the latest updates on Sherrone Moore, former football coach at Michigan, plus who could replace him. And then we talked with Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, as they have their preview meet coming up this coming Monday that you can go and check out for free at Neville Arena. So all of that was in hour number one. And also talked about the Auburn baseball schedule that was released. So a jam-packed first 60 minutes of the show. If you missed it or any other parts of our shows, you can always go back and listen to them as a podcast on our station website at espnau.com.
Here in hour number two, we're making our top 10 picks of... No, I'm just kidding. We don't have that many games this weekend. So it's unfortunate.
There is a game tonight if you want to pick that for fun.
Is it Stephen F. Austin? Is that...
Stephen F. Austin and Montana State, baby.
There we go. Heck yeah.
I think it's a...
Is it the FCS round two?
I think it's the FCS playoffs, yeah.
I'm trying to pull it up right here.
I say we do it because I got to come back somehow. So
there is, yeah. It's the quarterfinals. Yeah, you have Stephen F. Austin, Montana State, both of these teams 11-2.
That game will be a lot.
You have
of fun.
Villanova, Tarleton State, South Dakota, Montana, and Illinois State, and UC Davis all tomorrow.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to pick them. No, I'm just kidding. But in hour number two, as Christian's about to get to the phone lines, in hour number two, we're going to talk about the Auburn football schedule that was officially released and finalized last night. Of course, we knew the non-conference games for Auburn football. We also knew the conference games. We just didn't know when that they would be played. But we now know the entire layout of the Auburn football schedule for 2026 for new head football coach Alex Golish and his entire staff. So we're going to talk about that. Plus, break down some of the other schedules across college football in the SEC. And then Auburn basketball plays tomorrow against Chattanooga. So we'll ramp up our basketball coverage here a little bit more down the stretch of today's show, plus some phenomenal games this weekend on the hardwood. So all of that coming up in hour number two. Phone lines are open for Free For All Friday the entire second hour. So we want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067 as we're about to get to the phone lines right now.
We are, yeah. Before we dive into the schedule, John, you're in Auburn. John in Auburn, you're on the line. How you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing well, doing well. So I had a thought that I don't know how much this has been talked about. I'll go back in history a little bit to make my point. So the year was like 2010 or 2011.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches at Texas, in football, they had Mack Brown. In basketball, they had Rick Barnes. In baseball, they had Augie Garrido.
Yep.
All very good coaches, but all coaches that were kind of trending toward the end of their careers. And Texas kind of made a move on all of them,
mm-hmm.
and got rid of all of them. What's interesting about that is it took a while for everything to roll over, but you look at Texas now and that athletic department as a whole is rolling. Now, compare that to an athletic department like Iowa, where in football and basketball, the same two people have been in place for 20 years. I think it's difficult to make a change, but I feel like Auburn making a change, maybe not short term, but long term, I think was really the best move in football, basketball, in those two programs.
It's an interesting evaluation and kind of an observation, and I would be curious. I have not done this research personally, and somebody, if they want to, absolutely can, because I think the number would be fascinating. But how many P4/P5 level teams or athletic departments make multiple changes in the major three sports within the same year, right? Auburn just did so, right, with the basketball coach changing and the football coach changing. Baseball's not going anywhere. But I get your point, though, of making some changes and planning for the future, right? Because if things work out, you expect Stephen Pearl to be the head coach for a long time because of it being a young guy, Alex Golish being a young guy, and again, Butch Thompson is still – has many years left as a head coach. So I get your point, and I think it's an interesting observation, John.
Right, because if you don't make a change, you know, Iowa, I don't know if there's a Big Ten school that does less with more for their head coaching salaries. But thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. I mean, and Iowa's a place that, man, if you become a head coach at the University of Iowa, you got a job for life. You got tenure in Iowa City, man. I mean, they do not fire coaches very often there at the University of Iowa.
As long as you have a win next to your name when the season is done.
God, dude, their fans are just so toxic sometimes.
Sorry. Man. As long as you have quality losses.
That's all they care about in Iowa, buddy. As long as they beat Minnesota and have a close loss against a top 25 team, you got a job for life as the Iowa Hawkeyes head coach. Unbelievable stuff. So, John, we appreciate you calling in, and we got more to get to. 334-321-1390. An anonymous caller, you'd like to get in on this conversation.
Yes, hello.
Yeah.
This is a pity observation. I'm an elderly gentleman, I suppose. I finished Auburn in 1966. My wife's a graduate. My two children are graduates of live in Auburn. A lot of my friends, former athletes, and we've discussed this. Again, it's pity and you throw it away, but you've got an announcer, a local announcer, that every time he's talking about the schedule coming up, football I'm talking about, he always talks about or speaks of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And that really gets me and some of my elderly and younger friends. It's Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's Jordan. There was Leroy Jordan, who was All-American linebacker at Alabama. There's Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. And then there was a guy from Selma who ate sugar cane named Shug Jordan, spelled the same, but he was emphatic that his name was Jordan. In fact, his wife, Evelyn, got tired of correcting everyone, and she just started going by Jordan. But he always liked Jordan, and even national announcers that come to Jordan-Hare Stadium, they pronounce Jordan, Jordan. And I just have a pet peeve, and others too, that if you could get this one announcer, local announcer, to say Jordan Stadium, Jordan-Hare, instead of Jordan, that's pity, but that's what I had to say.
Well, we appreciate the call, and I totally understand. And there are people who do pronounce it incorrectly. And look, growing up with a name like myself, with my last name being mispronounced pretty much my entire life, right? Jacob Goins. It's G-O-I-N-S. But the amount of times that I was called Jacob Goings in my lifetime is pretty astronomical. And, you know, it's funny because I had gotten to the point growing up with my last name to where I told my dad one time when I was younger, I said, yeah, you know, people mispronounce it, but I quit correcting people. And he told me a lesson and gave me a lesson one time about how your last name is your honor, right? Your last name is your identifier. Your last name is really, really important and a big deal, and you should correct people. And I thought that like, he got mad, my dad did, when I told him that one time. And so that's a lesson that I learned, and so now I do correct people. It's Jacob Goins. Like, you're going somewhere, right? And so I understand the caller's opinion there, and you should. You should pronounce the name properly. It is Jordan-Hare Stadium. And people on the outside think it's stupid, right? And totally so. And then you say, hey, yeah, it was somebody's name.
Right.
Yeah, it was somebody's name. We're not calling it Jordan because we think it sounds funny. Because
we're trying to be
unique.
Yeah.
It was somebody's name, and you can't tell somebody how to pronounce their name properly. Right? So, no, I totally get it, and I think you're spot on.
And we're both in that same boat as well. And that was one thing that you always find pretty cool when it gets said correctly by somebody who is new to the environment. The fact that Alex Golish, I noticed it on his Tiger Walk, the introductory press conference, we were both there, and he hopped on the little stage and grabbed the mic in front of all the students and the fans that were there to support him. And he said, man, I can't wait to go play in that stadium right there. I can't wait to get inside Jordan-Hare. And something like that, again, where just goes to show you that it is correct.
Yeah, and I feel like from the broadcaster perspective, right, if you are fortunate enough to be a college broadcaster, whether you're the voice of a team or you're doing it for national radio or national television and things like that, you have most likely been around college football for quite some time, and you have heard an Auburn game on the radio or heard an Auburn game on the TV, and you just know that it's Jordan-Hare Stadium, right? You know.
Or at the very minimum, I mean, if you're going to the game, you know that the game you're calling, the home team's going to be watching the most.
Yeah, and so I mean, you're probably watching film and listening and doing things. So, like, most broadcasters, I feel like you know walking in. But even for us, I mean, man, how many times have you and I called a game for football, basketball, baseball, whatever, and you see a first or last name, and you think it's pronounced one way because it looks simple, but then it turns out, nope, it's actually pronounced this way, believe it or not. And that's why it is important to get clarification and to double check and double down on everything just to make sure. So, no, totally understand there, caller, and appreciate you getting in and giving your two cents on that conversation. So phone lines, again, they're open the entire second hour of today's show at 334-321-1390. And I don't know. With that, we'll discuss this over the air. What do you want to do? Do you want to go ahead and start, or do you want to take a break and have a bigger segment on the way back, and we'll talk about Auburn's football schedule, compare the other SEC schedules? I have a feeling with our time management skills, we should probably take a break.
That's what I was going to say. Then we'll come back and talk about the games that are inside and away from Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Correct. Let's do that. Let's take our first break in hour number two. Phone lines are open. We're talking Auburn football schedule for 2026 right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And glad we took the early break, because now we have a good bit of time, and no way that this carries over into the next segment, right? Because we are strict. We are on time. We are focused. Hey, did you see that TV show the other day about... No, kidding.
Final Jeopardy. You know what we should do?
Oh, God.
Total free-for-all Friday segment.
Here we go.
Let's talk Auburn Chattanooga for the final 10 minutes. Give us 30 to talk about the football schedule.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. Anybody that we teased before the break and they were waiting on us to talk about, and there's somebody driving right now, and they're about to get somewhere
they have 10 minutes left. Yeah.
They're really upset with us about to pivot here. But now, good radio hosts would have talked about that during the break. Even better radio host would have talked about that before the show. But I like the way you're thinking. So let's do that.
Screw it, I'm in.
So, yeah, sorry to anybody that was tuning in for that. We will get there eventually. Good news is, if you're
just... We just teased it for even longer, so that way when you go back from lunch or whatever...
Lunch
at 3:19, yeah. That's...
I've eaten plenty of lunches at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, unfortunately. Good news is, if you're just dying to hear us talk about the football schedule, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show at ESPNAU.com, where we post it every single day. So, no, I like that idea. Let's talk Auburn basketball, as they are in Atlanta tomorrow to take on Chattanooga in the Holiday Hoopsgiving. And then, yes, the final 30 minutes of the show, we will talk Auburn football scheduling. And for Auburn basketball, right, tomorrow isn't as much about winning the game. Yes, you should. And God, you do not want it to be close or stressful or anything like that. Go and win the game, first of all. Okay. I don't know if there's a betting line out for it yet, but I haven't seen one. It'll probably come out later tonight, if I had to guess. Auburn is the better team here. Okay. But if you're able to go in and handle business and take care of it and do what you need to do to where you have a comfortable lead, and you're able to work on some things, that would be very beneficial for this Auburn team, who, let's be real, they're just looking for a win. They're looking to get some positive mojo back, right? I mean, they have had some tough games over the last several weeks. Some of them they've won, some of them they obviously have not, and they would love nothing more than to go to their favorite gym in the world, light it up as they always do, give the fans what they're looking for, and get in and get out with a stress-free night against Chattanooga tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you hopefully shouldn't overly have to stress the final score of this basketball game, but yeah, we sit here and we talk all about Auburn, and you sit at 7-3, 10 games into the season, yet your three losses are to Houston, who was number one at the time, to Michigan, who was number seven at the time, who's now a top two team, and Arizona, who's a top two team in the country. And so you're beating the teams that you should beat, and you're doing it in pretty good fashion, right? I mean, when you look at the Oregon game, when you look at NC State, when you look at St. John's, I think that's probably the most high-class win you have so far this year is over the Johnnies and over Rick Pitino. But there's still so much that you're going to be able to get. I mean, you get tested, you mentioned it, against Purdue here coming up in just a couple of weeks before you get into SEC play. And you're looking for a couple more resume booster wins, but also just resume wins itself, right? I mean, 8-3 looks a whole lot better than whatever the case may be of 7-4 or anything like that. And also to continue to work on the little things, right? We've talked a whole lot about Stephen Pearl and this team and how you don't feel like there's too many gripes and complaints that people have in back-to-back weeks or back-to-back games with this Auburn team, right? It's either, man, the defense didn't really play well, but the offense did, or the offense struggled, but we made up for that with great defense in the free throw line. Other than that, turnovers, but the defense played well to counteract the turnovers. In Tucson, you feel like it was kind of just a double-edged sword. It was, you went on a little bit of a run to end the first half that you were sitting there, okay, it's only 12. You got out of the first half, and then after halftime, you had absolutely no answer for anything that Arizona did other than Tahad Pettiford, who it could be a little bit concerning. He leads the team in blocks with 11. So one thing that he's done really nicely.
It's a great stat for Tahad.
It's a great stat for Tahad, considering one of the biggest question marks going into this season and why he returned to college basketball was, hey, work on your defense and your playmaking a little bit, but
that's a terrible stat for the team.
If your 6'1 point guard leads the team with 11 blocks.
And a lot of his blocks, too, have not been just jumping up contesting shots at the high point. A lot of them have been down low strips and layup attempts and things like that.
That and they're in transition on fast break after turnovers where he's the only guard that's back that has
which
to,
you love to see.
Meet somebody at the rim. You would just love for him to maybe get steals rather than blocks. Not saying that at Tahad Pettiford, saying that more so the fact of letting him set up at the half court and play at the top of the key rather than have to be in a one-on-three situation and have to go try and meet somebody at the rim. But Tahad coming off a 30-point game, you would love to see him continue to shoot the basketball well. And you mentioned it, Auburn's going to their favorite place in the entire world, probably even more so, at least the rims, other than Neville Arena. I mean, State Farm Arena has been the best friend for Auburn over the past couple of years. And yes, it's a little bit of a different team, but even in the exhibition game earlier this year, you went to State Farm Arena and absolutely lit it up. And
you dropped triple digits, didn't you?
I believe so. And so, I mean, what better place to build a little bit of momentum, to build a little bit of confidence if you're not going to do it at home than in your second home?
This Chattanooga team, again, Auburn, I don't think there's a betting line out for it. They may not even put one out because of what this game could be. This Chattanooga team's 5-5 on the season. They got blown out by St. Mary's, UNLV, Florida Gulf Coast. They got beat by Tennessee State, and they got beat by Southeast Missouri. This is not a good team, okay? This is absolutely a chance for Auburn to just get a feel-good win. I mean, this will be a – I mean, this will probably be a quad four game. Without looking at the net rankings, this will most likely be a quad four game. And so you absolutely cannot afford to lose this. I'm not predicting Auburn to do that. I'm just saying this should not be all of that competitive, But hopefully that allows Auburn to get somebody like an Emeka Opurim in the basketball game, who Stephen Pearl has said is just not ready for the big lights yet, and get more minutes for Phillip, and get more minutes for some of your reserves, and just getting some of these, Caden Magwood, get him continuing to try and get Eclipse 20 minutes per game. I mean, those types of games are necessary. I hate that the holiday hoops giving is against Chattanooga. We talked about that earlier in the week. I love when Auburn was playing Memphis and Ohio State and Indiana, just blasting teams in that building. But, man, this game could not have come at a better time for Auburn. You had this entire week off because of finals. You're going to hopefully put it on Chattanooga. You'll then have almost a week off before you go up to Indianapolis and take on Purdue next Saturday. So you have a chance to start to feel good about yourself. Auburn basketball ranked 32nd in the net rankings, which those are going to fluctuate a ton between now and Selection Sunday. Good news for Auburn. Okay, you're 4-0 in Quad 4. You're 1-0 in Quad 3. You don't have a Quad 2 game yet, and you're 2-3 in your Quad 1 games. And we talk about it so much. Yes, you want a winning record in Quad 1, but you don't have to. That is simply about volume. How many Quad 1 games can you play, and then how many can you win?
Yeah. In SEC play, you obviously want to stack up as many Quad 1 games as you can, because that obviously helps you in conference play, and you're going to play a lot of Quad 1 and Quad 2 games. I'd be very surprised if there's more than one or two Quad 3 games in there in SEC play. But looking at Chattanooga, you mentioned it. They are 296th in the RPI out of 365 teams. So, yes, this will be a Quad 4 game, if not very much on the tier of Quad 3 and Quad 4. But like what we're talking about, is it's not necessarily something that you want to stress the scoreboard, and you shouldn't have to stress the scoreboard. You getting me outro music already?
Dude, it's random ads on these websites that just the videos on the side start playing when you click on something, and it's so annoying.
But
it's so annoying.
But
that was me. Hand up.
There's so many different ways that you can win a basketball game, right? You don't want to walk into this game and it be 95-90 like it was against Bethune-Cookman, where you get a win, but you don't really feel good about it. You don't build any sort of confidence. This needs to be one of those games like you're talking about, where a lot of guys get a lot of minutes. You get guys comfortable in their roles, in their positions, with the offense, with the defense, and you can make that two-hour drive or the 30-minute flight or whatever it is from Atlanta to Auburn.
Yeah, I don't think Auburn flies to this game. I'm pretty sure they bus. Surely they bus. That's good for them. I mean, let's go back to the old days. Let's hop on a bus.
The yellow cheese?
Wow.
I doubt they take a yellow cheese to,
I really
to
hope
Atlanta.
Not, and I'm going to assume they don't. But maybe. Breaking news in the college football world on our way out of this segment. Kyle Whittingham has stepped down as the head coach of Utah. How about that? He will coach in the Las Vegas Bowl. But he says, the time is right to step down from my position as the head football coach at the University of Utah. How about that? Where do you put that job in terms of attractiveness?
Based off their new land grant? Top 10.
Hey-o. Utah jumps into the coaching carousel. They had to have known. They have to have known. No way he would put them in this situation. For a guy that's been there that long, no way he just woke up today and said, you know what, I don't think I want to coach anymore. Good luck.
I was looking to see if his odds rose for Michigan, but they haven't.
No, I think that this sounds like he's done. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk more college football as Auburn's football schedule has been released. I promise we talk about that next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's free for all Friday, and it's definitely felt like it. There's no doubt about that. But hey, we are excited to jump into this topic, and we'd love to get your thoughts on it as Auburn's football schedule for 2026 has been finalized. We knew the non-conference games. We knew when they would be and where they would be and all that. We also knew the SEC opponents and where they would be. We just didn't know when, but now we do, thanks to the SEC releasing the full schedule last night for all 16 SEC football teams, and man, there are some good ones and some big-time storylines. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a quick text with your reaction and your thoughts at 334-784-1067. I'm sure most of you have seen it by now, but just in case you haven't, we will read through it and kind of break it down and react here the last 30 minutes or so of today's show. September 5th, Auburn football in 2026 with new head football coach Alex Golish will open up the season against the Baylor Bears in Atlanta for the Aflac kickoff game. Of course, Auburn sold off that game to be in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz. That is a neutral site, but technically Auburn's the home team, so keep that in mind. So four straight home games to start the season. How awesome is that, right?
I mean, yeah. What more could you ask for?
So Baylor in Atlanta on September 5th to open up the year. Auburn will then come home officially for three straight games inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Southern Miss, Florida, and Vanderbilt. That's right. Auburn will have Baylor in Atlanta, Southern Miss, Florida, and Vanderbilt. You then flip the calendar to October. You go to Tennessee, bye week, to Georgia, home for LSU, and to Ole Miss. All right, Tennessee on the road, bye week, Georgia on the road, LSU at home, and Ole Miss in Oxford on Halloween. Then you go to November, where you come home for Arkansas, you go to Mississippi State, you're home for Samford, and then you go to Alabama. Christian, your initial thoughts on when the schedule was released last night and what Auburn and Alex Golish will be facing in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, the first thought was when we were sitting here waiting for this and you're sitting there just looking at the 2026 teams that you know you're going to play. We talked about it as soon as it came out that 2026 and 2028 were going to be absolutely brutal. And by no means am I sitting here looking at the schedule do I not think it is. That being said, the way that everything is planned out and the way the schedule is built, how many times have we talked about it where this year or this past season we said, okay, win your first couple, survive the front end, and then the back half of your season is much more manageable. If you can get past the front end, the back half kind of fades off a little bit before you get to the Iron Bowl. There's other teams that it feels like it's a little bit more of a cakewalk in the front half of the season, and then the back half is very backloaded, and you feel like that's when you see those teams that are top 25 teams, and then they lose two, if not three in a row, just based off of the teams that they're playing come late October and into November. The schedule is manageable for the Auburn Tigers. You mentioned it. You get Florida at home in week three, and then Vanderbilt. That's four games that you feel like you have a legitimate chance at winning. Baylor, Southern Miss, Florida, and Vanderbilt. Who says no to that? You then have your toughest stretch of Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, and Ole Miss. You survive the month of October. Just survive it. To where you then get November. And I don't know if we've ever seen a November that benefits the Auburn Tigers like this one does.
And that includes a road trip to Alabama. That includes a trip to Tuscaloosa at the end of the season, but I agree.
But Arkansas, Mississippi State, Samford, and Alabama.
It doesn't get better than that, dude. You have three games. And look, Arkansas with a new head coach, Mississippi State in year three with Jeff Lebby, I expect them to be competitive. I don't expect them to be good, but I expect them to be competitive.
Kamario Taylor will be really good if he is the quarterback.
I don't care if,
snaps.
I don't care if Nick Saban is the head coach at Mississippi State. Auburn should not lose to them consistently, even though they have in recent years, which is unfortunate. But you can't ask for two better opponents from the SEC in November, being Arkansas and Mississippi State, then with Samford, three games to get ready for the Iron Bowl. Like,
hopefully.
You feel like, yeah. But, I mean, the storylines on this schedule, man, are just incredible. John Summerall, head coach at Florida, first SEC game, and he comes to Jordan-Hare. You could not
They did that on purpose.
You could not have drawn that up any more perfect.
They knew
same way.
They knew what they were doing with the same way that LSU goes to Oxford.
Lane Kiffin and LSU open up SEC play in Oxford. You couldn't have asked. You couldn't have drawn those two up any more perfect, right? No. Vanderbilt comes back to Jordan Hare. Of course, that's one of Auburn's three permanent opponents in the SEC, along Georgia and Alabama. In the month of October, to the point you were just talking about, Christian, the month of October has been so wishy-washy for Auburn the last several seasons because, yeah, what was it, 2 years ago we said, man, October, you've got an advantage. Take advantage of October. Then last year, like you were saying, was, okay, or do I have it flipped? Maybe 2 years ago was, man, October's brutal. Survive October. Last year was take advantage of October, and now this coming season in 2026, road games to Tennessee, Georgia, or LSU at home, and then a road game to Ole Miss. There is a bye week in there. Like, the mindset is survive October. Don't go 0-4 in October. My goodness, if you go 2-2, everything's on the table. And then November.
Two and two. Okay.
What did I say?
2-2. I didn't know if that was where you're getting
yes,
at.
Yes, 2-2. Okay. Yes, 2-2. And then, yeah, November is, who knows? Who knows what November could be? You feel like you have three write-in wins there. Iron Bowl is whatever, right? I mean, God, I wish that. Could you imagine the Baylor game actually being in Jordan-Hare? You would feel so much better. About, I think Auburn will be a much better team than Baylor anyway.
Or imagine if they went back to, rather than a home-and-home and then a road-and-road with Georgia and Alabama, if you were able to split it.
Mm.
And the only thing that could make this schedule look better is if Alabama was at home.
Yeah, I agree. But good news is, in that juggernaut of October, you start with the road trip to Knoxville. You then have a bye week.
Yeah.
So think about the idea that if Auburn beats Baylor, Southern Miss, Florida and Vanderbilt, which I'm not overlooking Florida and Vanderbilt, even if they are at Jordan-Hare, because let's be real. I've talked so much about not getting my hopes up, and I'm in full see it to believe it mode with Golish and the staff and the players and everybody. Folks, I'm in see it to believe it mode for Auburn as a football program to win inside its own stadium again.
Sure.
And Florida will be revived under John Summerall. I don't know how good they're going to be, especially the third game of the year. Right, and how crazy is that game that you have two brand new coaches at two big time programs who are facing off that early in the season? Right, I mean that's incredible in itself.
Again, we made jokes early that game is going to be a meteor game for the losing team just because.
Oh yeah,
of Summerall all for Auburn, and then Summerall all of a sudden Florida gets involved, and now they go that Summerall route. So,
but imagine you beating Baylor, Southern Miss. You have to play well against Florida and Vanderbilt. We'll see what the Commodores look like. Clark Lee, of course, signing an extension there. We'll see what the quarterback situation is. But if you're able to start 4-0, you go to Knoxville. And we'll see how good Tennessee is going to be. We don't know. We don't know what their offense will look like. Jim Knowles now coaching the defense, so they'll be studs. If you could get that win against the Tennessee Volunteers, and you start 5-0. This is wishful thinking, of course.
That's a tough task. This is our favorite game to the extreme.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough ask to say, hey, win a non-conference game against a P4 team, Alex Golish, and then just rip off your first three SEC wins in a row.
Yeah, easy.
Good luck. Easy. Simple game. But you have a bye week in there. And I confirmed this just to make sure I wasn't crazy. I believe we're back down to one bye week. Am I incorrect on that? Look at the schedule. Look at the calendar. Did we go back to just one bye week? Or am I missing something in there?
No, because we play Saturday, September 5th.
So Auburn's down
rather
to one bye
week.
Rather
than being the August 31st games.
So Auburn's back down to one bye week in the season, and it's between Tennessee and Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Then you go correct. To Georgia, home for LSU, and home for Ole Miss. In that four-game stretch, winning one is essential. It's crucial. It's everything. You have a chance to get another. And how awesome would that be? Then you go into November with Arkansas at home, a quick trip to Starkville, home game against Samford, and then you go on the road to Alabama. Is this a schedule that we'll talk about being the easiest of all time? No. Heck, we talked about this past season schedule being one of the easiest ones we've seen in quite some time, and Auburn still went 5-7. So clearly the layout of the schedule in recent memory for Auburn doesn't have an impact, but all things considered, man, I like how it sets up. I like how it's laid out. I like Florida and Tennessee being back on the schedule. Auburn's going to play Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the first time in several years. Two teams that Auburn has played forever, right? I mean, they've played Mississippi State longer than almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like how it sets up. You get Lane Kiffin and LSU coming to Jordan-Hare. Not that Auburn has a – well, yeah, actually they do have a – pretty heated rivalry with Lane Kiffin and LSU. Haven't even talked about that. LSU's back on the schedule, and they come to Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, it's basically a double-down rivalry, LSU and Lane Kiffin.
And Lane Kiffin, yeah. I'm sure nobody will be fired up for that game whatsoever.
No.
I like it. I do. I like it.
And this isn't even us sitting there saying...
Auburn to the Natty.
10-2 is what is necessary. 10-2 is what you have to do.
Way too early.
Because you're back now at the point of where you feel, and it hurts saying this, but even if this was a fifth-year head coach, you would still relatively say these similar things of 7 or 8 wins feels like a dang good season.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this schedule, and I try to put myself in the shoes of, okay, if Auburn has an average football team, okay, in 2026, with new head coach Alex Golish, all the new staff, all the new players, whatever that looks like, if Auburn has an average to above average football team, what do they do with this schedule? What can they do with this schedule? What's the ceiling? What's the floor? What's the expectation? Because we have these same conversations, Christian, every single year. What's the floor? What's the ceiling? What do you have to get? Right? What's the must-win number? Right? But all that kind of gets reset with a brand new head coach. And so all of that comes back around. But if Auburn has an average football team with the schedule that is laid out for you, I think 7 or 8 wins is absolutely doable. I think you should beat Baylor. And I'm talking, again, just Auburn generically. Auburn should beat Baylor
and
in Atlanta.
I guess both teams generically.
Sure, yeah. Auburn should beat Baylor in Atlanta. Auburn should beat Southern Miss in Jordan-Hare. Realistically, Auburn should split Florida and Vanderbilt at home. I'm not willing to pencil in or Sharpie in Auburn to beat both of those teams back-to-back until I see it, right? So give me one of those. That's 3. The month of October, give me 1. That's 4. You should beat Arkansas, you should beat Mississippi State, and you should beat Samford. That's 7. And you lose the Iron Bowl. You're 7-5, and you pick up a win in there you're not supposed to in October that I didn't give you, or in the Iron Bowl, or one of those games at home in Jordan-Hare. All of a sudden, you're an 8-win football team. All of a sudden, you have had a pretty darn good year in the first season on the Plains for Alex Golish. Does that sound crazy to anybody? I don't think so. I don't think so.
And it hurts to think of it as 7 wins to be a win, but how can you complain when you haven't hit that number since 2019?
Exactly. So 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines before we get to break. And Shane, you're on the line. What's going on, man?
Hey guys, I can't consider it a win unless we get 8 wins. Even though we've been 5-7, it's still 7-5. It just doesn't sit right with me. It's been how many 5-6 years since Gus's last year. You know.
Yeah.
So 7-8 and 8-4. I'd be okay with that and missing. That's how I would like it, you know.
Sure, sure.
8-4 and then move up a game each year. I got a question. When is this current playoff system ending? Are they adding 2 more, or what, you know, when are they discussing that? And when would it?
Yeah, there's a deadline. There's a deadline for the college football playoff to be adjusted. Appreciate it, Shane. And you're kind of breaking up on us down the stretch. I think he was asking. the playoff structure for college football and when it could change, or basically what everybody's asking is when will it change?
Yeah.
Because it's not an if, it's a when.
It is, but we don't have confirmed 16 teams yet.
Right, but there's a date, and I can't remember. I want to say it's January. Am I crazy to say that? That there's a date that they have to submit the changes for the college football playoff?
January 23rd.
Okay, that's the day that they have to have
they
the changes
submitted.
They
extended the deadline.
That's right, they did. That's
the
right.
Friday after the national championship to basically show what the format of the college football playoff would be in the future, which could expand from 12 teams to as many as 24.
Gross. Then you start having conversations of nine-win teams are almost guaranteed if you're in the P4.
If they go to 24 teams in the college football playoff, even more so than what I've already talked about and what you've already talked about, there will not be college or conference championship games.
Well, there won't be conference championship games, but I also think if you start expanding the playoff, it's like anything. The more that you allow in, the less privileged you are to be there. It waters it down, right?
It's the complaint about money.
Well, even so. I mean, think about that.
I don't even mean money in college football. Money in general. People, why can't we just make more money? Because then it becomes less valuable.
Okay. So you're agreeing with me. Yeah. Because that's where I was going was, right. Even the 12-team playoff is more valuable than the 24 from a financial revenue perspective. I understand there would be more games, some more opportunities to make money, but each game in itself is not as valuable.
Correct.
So I wonder what that looks like in the books, right? In the bank account, basically.
If they go to a 24-team playoff, you wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing 10-game seasons. Because you're going to have to play so many more games and they don't want the college football season running longer, and we've talked with college football players that said, man, the season already is tough enough with 12 games up to 15 or 16 games if you have to play a first-round bye, including a conference championship.
You expand the playoffs to that many.
You go to 10 games. You're going to play a 10-game schedule.
Well, that's when our discussions of teams and conferences from the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, they're just going to go and form their own thing. They're not going to participate in something like that.
If it's a 10-game schedule, the SEC is not going to want to play 10 games against other SEC teams.
Correct. Exactly. So, I don't know. But, Shane, to answer your question, right now there's nothing, but they are in discussions, and it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And sounds like January 23rd is the day that they have to have some of that stuff submitted, and I wonder how much, as we get to break our final one here, how much this current playoff will impact that, because, folks, Tulane and James Madison don't belong in the college football playoff, and you're going to see why when they take the field next weekend. That's my two cents.
It's frustrating because you're at the point, again, where you went 10 years, you went a decade with four teams. And half the time it was, is that fourth team even really deserving? Is that third team? We know who the two best teams in college football are. We had a decade. And then there was one instance where Florida State got screwed over because Jordan Travis got hurt and they put Alabama in instead of Florida State. One instance where a fifth and maybe a sixth team felt as if they could have made it to the college football playoff. And because of that, rather than six, rather than eight, you go to 12.
Yeah.
And now in the second year, hell, even go back last year. In both years now, because it's up to 12, you have teams 13, 14, 15, and 16 saying, hey, you let this team in, why can't we get in? But because of one or two instances already, you have to expand.
Yeah, you opened up Pandora's box is what you did. And it's not going to go back, unfortunately. So, okay, we got to get to break. We've
six
blown
was
way
the
past
perfect
it.
Number.
That's what he says. 334. Actually, I can't even plug that. We don't have time to take calls. We got to get to break. We got to come back, pay the bills. We'll wrap up the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, well, We are out of time here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's been a great show today, man. We've talked so much today. College football, college basketball, schedule release, baseball, you name it, we had it. Check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. Christian's on the air for Lee Scott Basketball tonight. Tiger Country 104.5 on air, what, 5:30, 5:45?
Yeah, right around that, Mark. Taking on the Brookstone Cougars from Columbus.
Yeah, so check them out, Tiger Country 104.5 tonight and tomorrow. Auburn Men's Basketball tomorrow on Wings 94.3, followed by After the Game. All sorts of stuff, and then we're back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.